This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
Good morning and welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith and the importance of faith in the different areas of our lives. Whether you are in the workplace or you're a student or an at-home parent or maybe you're taking care of a loved one or just maybe you're someone who has never really had faith and you're searching for what your purpose is, well, the next 30 minutes we interview everyday people who will share their everyday faith. And today's victory verses, these are two verses that have been dear to me this week that I'm going to talk about later in the show. I have two verses. First one comes from the book of Philippians in the New Testament, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, goes like this. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. The second verse I want to mention comes from the book of Ephesians, and it's commonly referred to as our armor of God or our spiritual warfare chapter, Ephesians chapter 6, and we're just zeroing in on verse 16. It goes like this. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Thank you so much for joining us today on the show. We now have all our podcasts loaded on iTunes. Or if you want to hear the previous programs, you can visit mark5ministries.com. So we've got that website up and running. It's mark5ministries.com. We also have an email address. It's everydayfaithradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and we appreciate all of your comments and encouragements. And, of course, we welcome your prayer requests. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Thanks again for joining us. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. The Palmyra Volunteer Fire Department will have a barbecue dinner in memory of their former chief, Wallace Boots Wills, on September 12th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Fluvanna County High School. The fourth annual Dustin Fitzgerald Memorial Ride will be September 13th, starting from the Little Caesars parking lot in Waynesboro at 10:30 a.m. The 32nd annual Special Olympics Pepsi 10K Run and 2-mile walk will be on September 19th at Meriwether Lewis Elementary School on Owensville Road. The race starts at 8 a.m. The inaugural Hoover Ridge 5-miler will be on September 19th, starting at 7:30 a.m. at Hoover Ridge Park in Madison. If your charity or nonprofit has an event coming up, tell us about it. Email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more information about these and other events, visit our concert events calendar at WCHV.com.
This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHV.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. And with us on the program, back with us, is Joel Jenkins. Joel, thanks for coming back on the program.
Hey, Jeff. Glad to be here.
Have you had a good summer?
Really have. It's been pretty busy. As most people, I guess, retired like myself, find out their life gets busier the longer they're retired. But it's been a good summer.
Do you have a high point of the summer you can think of off the top of your
head?
Well,
yes, I guess I would have to say, and it was maybe just early in the summer when the UVA baseball team won the national championship.
Amen.
That's about as good as it gets.
Golly. Were you out there with them? I know you work a lot with Coach.
And... Yeah, I do, in the players. I went 2 years, but this year my wife's mother was very ill during that period. She's kind of rallied now, but I didn't make it, but I followed it closely.
Yes.
I've taken two grandsons previous years, so I have a third grandson who says it's his turn. So the next time they go, I'll be there.
And I'm sure they're going back again.
I'm counting on it. And so is Thomas, by the way.
Yeah, well, let me talk about this. I want to touch in on my summer because this has been an interesting summer, to say the least. I have my oldest daughter was in graduate school at UVA. But this summer, my wife and I dropped off our twin sons at college. And I tell you what, dropping off to college is not easy. And having twins, oftentimes in life, if those that have twin children, they know that a lot of times there's double the joy and double the fun with twins. But I will tell you, dropping them off at college, it was easy to say. It was double the pain. Mm. And so I want to kind of share with you the experience of that, if I would. And I want to talk about the two verses that I introduced at the beginning of the show, Philippians 3 in Ephesians 6. And so let me just kind of go with this and then I'll ask your comments on it. So, you know, as a father, I feel like I've been preparing my sons for college for a long time. And it seems like a long way away. And then all of a sudden it's right on top of you. And let me just take you to my son Jay's dorm room. We dropped Jay off at Christopher Newport University. He's going down there to be a student athlete, play lacrosse. Dropped him off first in his dorm room. And it sort of went like this. His mother stepped up to say goodbye, and, you know, that was hard. And then his older sister stepped up to say goodbye. Younger sister was out of town at a retreat for her school. And so then it turned the twin Jay's time to say goodbye to his twin brother. And that caught me off guard. I will tell you that I wasn't expecting the emotions to be as high as it was at that moment. Seeing twins saying goodbye to each other, and they've, you know, always been together. And what was really, really sweet was that as they hugged each other goodbye, they invited me into their hug, which we have done so many times. And so if you look at it in this dorm room, we have a little huddle going. And now I feel a little bit of the pressure of the father. It's these are going to be kind of your last words to Jay. What you going to say, Dad? My message in that moment came from Philippians 3, where Paul talks about, he says, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on. And I stopped it there. So that verse came to mind for me, and I talked to both boys in that moment, and I said, here's what I want you to do, man. It's time to press on. And I know it says in that verse, forgetting the past, but when you look at a definition of forgetting the past, one definition of forgetting is to place it out of your mind. And so in this particular case, I was trying to encourage them to, take some of the feelings of anxiety and, I don't know kind of how this is all going to go. I want you to take that out of your mind, and I want you to now focus on pressing on. And it seemed to be a message that helped, you know, as I'm saying those words to them, I very quickly realized that I think God had given that message to me. Mm-hmm. And so I always find that as an interesting intersection where life and the word come together. And sometimes God will download a message to me and I deliver it. And then I'm like, gee, that's exactly what I need in that moment. And so that helped kind of stabilize the ship a little bit for us all. And I was excited about that. And then we ended up the next week, we had to drop Drew off at St. Joe's University. And he's also going to be a student athlete and play lacrosse there. And so that was, again, filled with emotions. But my theme through all this was to press on. And that seemed to really kind of resonate in my heart. And it helped my wife and I kind of get through it. Let's just kind of press on. But the other thing was in Ephesians chapter 6, again, our listeners are familiar with the armor of God and the spiritual warfare chapter that it is. In that chapter, verse 16, it talks about the shield of faith. And the reason I want to bring that up is I felt myself at times needing to use the shield of faith because sometimes, as you know, we're under attack. And when I was in that dorm room with Jay, for just a split second, I could feel these thoughts coming to me that was saying, man, this is the end of 19 years, almost two decades of your life. And then I quickly was doing the math. 40% of your life is coming to an end here as you drop these guys off at college. And I just felt like, instead of it being a victorious moment of bringing your kids to college, I felt like the enemy was trying to get me down on that. So, again, I relied on my shield of faith, and I just, basically said, I'm not taking that thought on. I'm not taking it. I'm going to focus and press on and really just bring the Lord into it. And so here's my summation. As hard as that was, I found that when you invite Jesus into your challenges and your hurt and your pain, that the psalmist talks about how in your presence is the fullness of joy. So on the one hand, you have hurt and pain, but you bring Jesus into the equation. He fixes it, puts it all back together, and as challenging and painful as it was, you experience, on the other hand, this incredible divine joy. What do you think?
Wow. Well, I'll have to say that I've experienced some of those same emotions. We've had all three of our children leave home and head off to college. Our oldest daughter, she graduated from UNC Charlotte, so we sent her off to Carolina. Our son graduated from a small college in North Carolina, Wingate University. We took him down, and I'll never forget the president of the university reminded all of the parents that day. He said, now look, when you leave your children here, you can't start crying till at least you cross the railroad tracks, which was not very far away from the campus, actually. So my wife recalled that, and she said, okay, I'm not going to start crying till we cross the railroad tracks. And sure enough, the moment we crossed those tracks, the tears flowed. I think it's not only because of the college factor. I think it's the idea of this is a transition in life. The empty nest begins to come into play. Not that they won't come home when they're in college often, but it still is that reminder that we're not going to have them with us all the time anymore. They're not going to be at the dinner table every night. We're not going to get to touch base with them every day and look into their eyes and see how life's going. So it's a challenge. I think they're far more excited about it than we parents are.
Yes.
We can almost put ourselves back when we were at that point. We were excited to leave home, go on our own. But for the parents and even grandparents, in my case, as I'm thinking of my oldest grandson soon to head off to college, it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. But I think the verses you chose for the boys were very apropos. So I would encourage you to hang on to those verses for yourself, but also giving those verses to them might not be a bad set of verses to often bring back up mm-hmm. in this journey. Mm-hmm. Maybe when they come home at the break, maybe next summer, say, guys, let's just let those be two of our touchstone verses.
I like it. Well, the other thing is you and I have talked about the book of Colossians, and I was focused on the verse that in him all things hold together, and I was really cognizant of taking Jesus up on that truth because he kind of had to hold me together. And when you bring him in, and that, as we relate it back to the Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the belt of truth. And so I was kind of relaying how, you know, I'm gonna really rely on this belt of truth being Jesus to hold me together in that moment. And, you know, it certainly wasn't perfect, but it went well. But that those will be memories that I, and kind of mileposts in life right. that I'll never forget.
Absolutely.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're talking with Joel Jenkins. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get into some more of the Word. Please stay with us. Again, this is Everyday Faith Radio.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. The Palmyra Volunteer Fire Department will have a barbecue dinner in memory of their former chief, Wallace Boots Wills, on September 12th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Fluvanna County High School. The fourth annual Dustin Fitzgerald Memorial Ride will be September 13th, starting from the Little Caesars parking lot in Waynesboro at 10:30 a.m. The 32nd annual Special Olympics Pepsi 10K Run and 2-mile walk will be on September 19th at Meriwether Lewis Elementary School on Owensville Road. The race starts at 8 a.m. The inaugural Hoover Ridge 5-miler will be on September 19th, starting at 7:30 a.m. at Hoover Ridge Park in Madison. If your charity or nonprofit has an event coming up, tell us about it. Email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more information about these and other events, visit our concert events calendar at wchv.com.
This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHV.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today, back with us, is Joel Jenkins. And Joel, thank you for being on the program. Let's shift it over to you for the second half of this program, and tell me what has God kind of laid on your heart? What is God telling you, or what are you studying these days?
Well, actually several focuses have come into my life recently. I've been doing a lot of speaking in some of the local churches, basically just filling in when their pastor's been on vacation. In one church, they're between ministers. So I've had to reactivate all my sermon files, and I decided rather than just keep going back through some of the old stuff to just see what new stuff the Lord wants to say to me. And so that's been an exciting experience for me. And you show me a lot of things. Before I get into that verse, I want to get back to the comment in the verses you found, particularly in Ephesians for just a minute, because that's one of my favorite passages as well. And I remember years ago, one of the commentaries I read on that passage of Ephesians, when it's talking about put on the whole armor of God and the shield of faith, and it'll quench the fiery darts. And so in doing a little background study, I found out that Paul was very knowledgeable, of course, to the Roman armaments. He was under Roman guard for quite a few years, and he even was under the Praetorian guard for a while, and he was under Caesar's elite guards when he was imprisoned in Rome. So he knew all of the implements that these soldiers had. So when Paul was speaking of that particular shield, he used a word that distinguished what type of shield it was. The Romans generally carried two types. One was that little round shield that they would carry into hand-to-hand combat and have a sword in one hand and that shield in the other to deflect blows. But the shield that Paul was talking about, if you look into to the Greek word that's used there that we translate the shield. It was that big shield, almost the size of a door. And what the Roman soldiers would do, if the enemy would be firing arrows with combustibles on it or javelins with combustibles on it, they would hide behind these shields, and it would basically blunt the attack. But something else interesting about that, those shields were made to interlock. They had the kind of a rounded edge down so that it would almost like a piece of a puzzle fitting together. So to best protect yourself, you would also interlock with the people around you. So you were protecting one another from the flank or from the side. And so I think there's an important lesson there for us as well. Two quick points. One, the fiery darts are going to come. And I think the closer we get to living a life that pleases God, sometimes the more intense they can be.
Yes.
When we're not a threat to the spiritual forces that are at work in our world against the things of God, I don't think there needs to be much energy turned in our direction because we're just not a threat. But when we really seem to be grabbing it and moving into that closer walk, I think the darts are coming. But that shield, as the scripture describes it, it's the shield of faith. It's God's armament. It's not ours. So the good news is, even though we're going to be like every other human being, if whether they have faith or not, we're going to have bad things happen. We're going to have challenges come. We're going to have those moments of loss and grief and saying goodbye to our kids and so on and so forth, just like everyone else. But God offers us. He offers us that shield. And when you think of a shield, it literally means you are holding something away from you that otherwise would penetrate you, that otherwise would hurt you. And God gives us that shield to protect us. But that shield comes by our faith. It's the shield of faith. It's when we believe God, when we believe that Jesus Christ is available and is the answer and is our hope, then we can pull that shield out anytime the darts are coming, and it will quench them. But also the second part of that is we need to have fellowship with other believers, and we need to be there for one another. When I was in Iraq, the soldiers there, one of the things they would often say is, "I got your back. I got your back. I got your 180. And that was important to know, because you couldn't scan every sector all the time. So everyone had their sectors. And you knew, I'm protected because my brother over here is guarding me on the flank, and I'm guarding him on this flank. So that shield means that you and I would work better together than we would alone as men of faith. And we strengthen each other, but we are also helping protect each other from those darts. So I think I love that passage. But the passage doesn't stop with just defensive armament.
Yes.
We have that sword, and we know that's the truth of God, and we can always use that to break down the barriers that keep us from becoming the husbands we need to be, or the fathers we need to be, or the businessmen we need to be. That sword allows us to take those obstacles that would tend to tempt us or test us or destroy us even, and we can overcome them. Mm-hmm. So everything we need to be fulfilled believers and walk that good walk and fight the good fight is described in Ephesians.
That's a good word. You know, the other chapter that I've spent a lot of time in is Romans chapter 12, which you and I have talked about before. And in the second verse talks about the importance of renewing your mind. And as we were taking this trip twice with the boys to drop them off, I took a whole sheet of paper and I typed up what I called promises of God, and I laminated them, gave it to each of the boys. But I will tell you, as I'm driving down the highway to drop them off, I was clinging really closely to that laminated sheet of paper and just renewing my mind as I'm going down the road. And I found that that helped for me strengthen my own shield of faith so that I could, you know, I could really just kind of block out the attack of the enemy and enjoy the time. It really turned into an enjoyable time. But there were times when I felt seriously under attack and the emotions were coming on, but clinging to God's word.
Well, and I think you also did something important. There are many transition points in life, and I think we should always try to make them teaching points. My middle grandson, who's 14, spent the weekend with us, and he's getting ready to go into high school for the first time. So I had a little conversation with him, and I just reminded him of a couple of things, because it's a transition for him. Huge leap from middle school to high school. And I said, Jacob, you're going to be in a whole new world, man, where you are. You're going to hear things you've never heard. You're going to have people challenge you in ways you've never been challenged. He's a little bit on the short side. He's redheaded. He gets picked on quite a bit. So I said, Jacob, you're just going to have to be true to yourself. And he is a young man of faith. I said, don't worry about what others say or think or do. Don't try to please them. At the end of the day, you be true to the person God wants you to be. And you'll come out okay. I said, just be strong. And I was quoting some of those same scriptures to him. So a lot of points of in life we can use as teaching points, not only for those younger than us, but even those older than us. And I certainly receive a lot of guidance from people younger than me.
Sure.
Who have walked through things I haven't walked through and have learned things that I haven't yet grasped. But I will also mention this, Jeff, and this is something I think your boys will take with them. Someone once told me the greatest lessons in life are probably not taught, they're caught. Mm. And so when our children and even grandchildren see us practicing our faith, and they see that it's enough, it sustains. As Vance Havner used to say, not only is Jesus necessary, but Jesus is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when our kids see that and they realize, you know, Dad really believes this and it works.
Yeah.
I've seen Dad test it, and yet he's still standing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think those lessons we need to teach. But then the part that the important lessons are also caught, we don't need to forget that either.
No doubt. And as you were talking about your grandson going into making the transition from middle school to high school, I thought about another lesson that the boys and I talked about this summer in preparation for them to go to college. Again, another transition point from high school to college. I think it's Matthew where Jesus says, broad is the road that leads to destruction, but enter through the narrow gate. And I was really trying to emphasize that to the boys, that you're going to see stuff that's, you know, you're going off to college, so you're going to see some stuff. And you'll experience some things, but really you're going to have to be uncommon and really search for the narrow gate, which, you know, years later you and I discover that the narrow gate leads to Jesus. Mm. And once you're a believer, you get that Holy Spirit that starts to guide you and get you out of situations and tell you when to leave parties and leave different situations. But I talked very similarly to my sons, same message: be yourself, mm-hmm. and don't worry about following that crowd. And I really feel like that comes back to the enter through the narrow gate message that Jesus was giving.
That's a good word, Jeff. And I also would quickly add to that that we need to be accountable to someone. You need a battle buddy, using that Army phraseology again. So I hope both your boys in their new surroundings will find someone that they can trust.
Yes.
That will keep them accountable and that they can help keep accountable.
That's a good word from Joel Jenkins. Really appreciate you being on the show, Joel. Is there any verse that kind of comes to mind for any of our listeners to kind of take with them for the rest of today?
Well, I would give a broader theme. I would just remind them to go back and read the story of David against Goliath in 1 Samuel. One of the things David did when he faced Goliath was remember past victories. Mm. So when those challenges come, remember what God's already brought you through.
That's a great word. Joel Jenkins, thank you so much for all that you do for this community, and really appreciate also your involvement with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you, Jeff.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. Thank you again for joining us this morning, and check out mark5ministries.com. God bless. I sneeze.